bum Welcome back to the Comixologist. Now reporting almost live from a galaxy far, far away.
Are we recording right now?
We are recording right now.
This is magical. Oh my
gosh. This is the show. Many Bothans died to bring us this podcast.
If we haven't been sued yet for that intro, the podcast you're listening to right now, huge. We have it all. Star Wars, digital comic books, big day for you and
myself. Available for you right now. Whether you're on Tatooine, Dantooine, or in the middle of Coruscant.
Those are Star Wars planets and systems, folks. If you haven't known that yet, you need to go to our website. Stop listening to the podcast. Just throw your phone in the garbage and go to our website
now. You need your phones because you can get to comixology.com from your phone.
So we have, you know, the original Marvel comic books when the first movie came out. We have that. We have a bunch of omnibuy.
Oh, getting Latin up in here.
We have some of my personal favorites, Dark Empire, you know, Star Wars Legacy, the manga.
We have so much, and we're gonna start off today's show by giving you some of our picks from the selection that is available today.
Mm-hmm. Huge, huge pick. So, Kara, I'm not even sure if you were born when Phantom Menace came out. I don't even know how old you are. I'm like 60, so I was in college when the first Star Wars movie came out.
How was that for you?
It was great. I was engaged. I was newly engaged when A New Hope came out. So what did you read this week? Our top secret books that we talked about last week.
Our top secret reading.
Top secret. What did you read? What were some of your picks from the big release?
Okay. I read Tag and Bank Were Here and X-Wing Rogue Squadron.
Squadron. I don't know. This is a Diana.
I always
situation.
Pronounce it Squadron, but
that's pretty
that
fancy. Squadron sounds cooler than
X-Wing
Squadron.
Rogue Squadron. I'm wearing my hoodie for it right now, actually. The first omnibus, and I also read the first omnibus for Star Wars a long time ago, which again are those original Marvel comics that you spoke about, and those are interesting because that was an ongoing series that Marvel did. And the first six issues are the comic version of Star Wars A New Hope, but they started putting them out before the movie hit theaters. Wow. So there's some details that are different. Basic story's the same, but things like you see Jabba the Hutt, but Jabba the Hutt is a yellow man with a walrus head instead of the Jabba the Hutt slug creature we know today.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, Luke and Leia are kind of making out all over the place, and you're like, ugh.
Wasn't the,
people on this planet who haven't seen Star Wars.
Make out spoilers. Wasn't the special features, didn't they show a clip of Han Solo, like, walking around just a regular, kind of, like, large man that was playing Jabba the Hutt in the movie? And in the special editions, like, I'm not sure if you're old enough to know this, Kara, but they redid the original trilogy with new special effects.
Yes.
And they, like, recut a scene where Han was talking to this dude and they threw in Jabba.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. So that leads, reminds me of what you just said.
There's also, because with comics, the advantage is that you see the action going on just like you would in the film, but there's also that opportunity to show what the characters are thinking, which we don't have in the film. And there were a few places where they had some backstory. So, for example, you saw more about Luke's life on Tatooine, and you saw him talking to his buddy Biggs Darklighter, which makes their reunion later, spoilers, much more poignant than it was in the film.
Biggs Darklighter. There was no Biggs in the first movie, was there?
Maybe in one of the later...
Biggs Darklighter.
At one point, you see him in the special edition for like 2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
He says hi to Luke, and he's like, Biggs! And if you know Star Wars stuff, you know that Biggs is Luke's best friend from Tatooine, but that's never really explained.
How amazing is it? What are the chances that two friends and their last names are Skywalker and Darklighter? Who are the coolest kids in town? Probably.
Amazing.
They probably ran Tatooine when they were kids.
Ooh, also, so then once you get past those six issues, that's when they just go bananas. Marvel just went bananas and said, all right, and this is what happens after the film. Mm. So again, this is just when the film had first come out. This is pre Empire Strikes Back, pre Return of the Jedi. Everything that you know is has not happened yet. So from that perspective alone, these comics are fascinating to see what they were thinking of would have happened next. And what happened next was awesome.
You were telling me something about space pirates, regular pirates.
Oh, my goodness. So,
pirate planet.
So Luke is leaving Yavin 4, where the Rebel base was at the end of A New Hope, to go scout for new Rebel base locations. And you figure, obviously, this is what would happen next. They need a new base because everyone knows where they are now. So he's going off to scout for locations, and he ends up on this planet that is basically like a water world, and the only landmass is essentially a giant pirate ship circa 1750 on planet Earth. It's like a giant pirate ship, and it's run by salvagers who just like pull in ships on their tractor beams and totally mess them up. Meanwhile, Han Solo went to go pay back Jabba the Hutt with all his reward money, because obviously. And this actually filled in a gap, because you always wonder, how did it take, how he got all that money, what did he do with it between A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, where Jabba the Hutt still wants the bounty on his head? Answer, space pirates stole it from him in issue 7 of this Marvel series, and he tries to get new jobs to like earn his money back, so he ends up getting like this ragtag group of people together to like earn some money by defeating this evil guy who's messing around with this village on another planet, which is where you meet Jackson the Space Rabbit, which is
Told me about him.
Jackson is one of my favorite Star Wars characters, because he's just so, he's a green rabbit who's not really a rabbit, so essentially he's Rocket Raccoon, but he's in the Star Wars universe.
Does he get angry and people call him a rabbit?
Yeah.
Do they even know what a rabbit is in this solar system?
Apparently. All right. He's incredible. He makes it very clear that he eats meat. He's not a carrot-loving rabbit.
Oh, my word.
And he just kicks butt all over the place, and it's incredible. There's also Don Quixote, which is a man who dresses like a knight in shining armor who found a lightsaber at one point and thinks he's a Jedi knight. Jeez. And they call him Don Juan for short, but like Obi-Wan, but it's Don Juan. It's incredible. These comics are so great. And so I'm at the point now where Han has, he's coming, he's like convinced the space pirates who have somehow captured Princess Leia also to go and save Luke on this planet where he's like fighting the pirates. So currently I'm at the point where it's actual pirates versus space pirates. And also there are sea serpents everywhere they're on a water world, so it's insane. It's
sounds it sounds chaotic.
It's so good.
And there's 27 issues. The omnibus you're talking about, Star Wars A Long Time Ago, Volume 1, $20 or $19.99 for 27 issues. It's almost 500 pages.
It's the biggest bang for your buck. It's so good.
And there's so many. Like I didn't even realize that the original Marvel series from the 70s had gone on that long. There's a bunch of omnibuses from that era. And I read maybe a little more grim. There's no rabbits in mine. The Dark Empire trilogy, which takes place, I believe, 6 years after Return of the Jedi. So the Empire is kind of was in ruins, but there wasn't enough Jedi to bring the New Republic back to like fully formed power. So the Empire are actually kind of reforming, and it's really cool that they still use Star Destroyers. Luke is like piloting a Star Destroyer, but it crash lands on a planet and he encounters some kind of dark evil. It's really cool. Luke, the artist, Cam Kennedy, is some of my favorite artwork from like the entire Star Wars collections. He also, I think he also does colors, but it's like this weird, I don't know how to describe it. He takes like one bright color and does it on the whole page and to varying degrees. I've never seen coloring like it before. It's very, I don't want to say like very 80s, early 90s, but it definitely feels like a part of that era, and it's really great. So Luke tells everyone, he's like, I need to go confront this dark evil. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to just go find out. And he almost looks like Darth Vader. He's become like a beyond Jedi master. He's wearing black cloaks all the time. It's all he wears. He's kind of dark looking. So this one, he goes to confront the evil that he doesn't know what it is yet. And it turns out that it's the Emperor. and he's back.
Spoilers.
Spoilers of this almost 25-year-old comic. The Emperor goes on to tell him that the power of the dark side is so strong that his body can't contain it, so he's been cloning himself all these years to survive.
Like Voldemort.
Maybe Harry Potter stole it from the Emperor.
Starting to sound a lot like Voldemort.
We need to dig into some lawsuits now for that. So Luke initially goes to figure, like, he goes knowing that the Emperor is kind of still alive, still running things, and he agrees to become the Emperor's apprentice. So he gives in to the dark side.
Ooh.
And what is later, he has, like, some other motives to do it, but Han and Leia are on the run to try to help him. So it was a really cool 5 or 6 issues of the first third of this omnibus.
Right.
Was them finding out the Emperor is still alive, Luke possibly giving in to the dark side?
Question mark.
And his friends trying to help him out.
So this takes place immediately after Return of the Jedi, or a few
no?
Years
it's
later?
Like it's like 6 years after.
Okay.
So the Han and Leia have twins,
right? Johnny and Jason.
Yeah, and possibly another one?
Question mark.
So
no, I'm asking because what I like about these omnibuses is that they're organized where even if the comics were made years and years apart or out of order chronologically, the omnibuses put the comics back in chronologically. Mm-hmm. So one of the comics that I read was the first volume of X-Wing Rogue Squadron, and the first part of the story, they kind of set up the rest of the series, even though I think the first part of the story was made like years after the series first debuted. And so it opens up with Luke kind of still leading those X-Wing fighters, and then he realizes, like, oh, I'm the last of the Jedi, I should probably maybe do something about that and mm-hmm. find the other Jedi and restart the order. So he kind of like passes on the leadership of the squad, and so then you're just meeting the new guys and kind of sets you up for everything that all the adventures that they're gonna
go on. Is
there
any big Starlighter? Is there any bigs in this one?
No, because spoilers.
Oh jeez. Just wrote it for me.
No, you're fine.
The what was I gonna say? Oh, I grew up, I actually read the Star Wars books like they were a drug.
The actual books or the comics?
The novels. The like the Kevin J. Anderson Jedi Academy where...
Wait, did you read the Thrawn trilogy? Because we totally have that in comic form.
I don't think I've ever read that, but I did see that today that they did a comic book adaptation. I was pretty jazzed about it.
Yeah, I took a look at some of the art. It's amazing. Yeah, you might even say it's out of this world.
The novels were like the whole universe, and now it's kind of with the movie coming out. I don't want to say it's like retcon, but the movie,
condensed.
Yeah, the movie universe is going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be held up to what the books had or the comic books had.
Right.
But man, those
that doesn't mean they all went away.
Sure. I mean, they're all
they
still
are
great.
They're available for purchase on comicsology.com.
The other book that I read, we had looked at a Comics Alliance article before, and they talked about a Boba Fett book, and I had forgotten that we were going to have this omnibus of 3 Boba Fett stories.
Yeah.
And Comics Alliance kind of poked fun at Boba Fett. They called him the Wolverine of the Star Wars universe.
So naturally,
almost
you had
as
to
a,
read it.
As a slight. And in my head, I was like, well, that's a huge positive, my friend. You're exactly right. I actually grew up buying these Star Wars books when I was younger. I love Boba Fett. Boba Fett is absolutely the Wolverine of the Star Wars universe. So I was drawn to him, but his omnibus that we have on this store, Death, Lies, and Treachery, also drawn by Cam Kennedy, so I was in love with it. He gets involved with some Hutts who, there's a Hutt that sees this female Hutt, and he's immediately in love, so he tries to...
Smitten.
Yeah, he's definitely smitten. He tries to concoct a plan to marry this female Hutt. So he hires Boba Fett to
be the matchmaker.
Essentially, yes, he hires Boba Fett to capture this pirate that wronged the father of this female Hutt.
Ooh.
And then that ties into the next 3 books. These characters are all intertwined, and you get a sense of what kind of man Boba Fett is.
Okay.
In this universe. And later stories, I think which we have on this on the store, Boba Fett is very much like I don't want to say moral, but maybe the anti-hero more right. so than you see in the movies.
Because what we see in the movies is him chucking some chick on the chin and then falling into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, alleged everything. So I remember like reading Star Wars magazines when I was younger, and there being one Star Wars comic, I can't remember what it is, but they revealed what he looked like without his helmet.
Right.
And he had like what looked like purple mohawk. And I was like, whoa, what is happening? And they had like the goatee that kind of just like jutted out like an Egyptian model.
Wait,
it was crazy.
So that sounds incredible. But going back a second to what you were saying about all those interconnecting storylines. So everyone is basically related to one another in terms of like plot points and
yeah.
like everyone knows someone. So basically what you're telling me is that this book is Love Actually starring Wolverine in space.
Absolutely correct.
I'm reading it right now.
I was thinking it, and you just said it out loud. But there's just so much. I can't wait to read. I never got into the Star Wars Legacy series. We have those trades now.
Ooh, which I hear Legacy 2 is really good.
The Jade Skywalker, a descendant of Luke Skywalker, possibly the last Skywalker ever. Some of the Legacy books follow him around. So you really jump, like, you could read the Star Wars Omnibus that you talked about, which takes place during the first movie and eventually the other ones.
A fascinating historical perspective.
Absolutely. Dark Empire, which takes place 6 years or so after the Return of the Jedi, and Legacy, which takes place, you know, like hundreds of years after after all that. So you can jump into wherever you want and get goodness.
Or you can read Tag and Bink Were Here, which is a hilarious look at what might have been going on behind the scenes. So this is a book that's of the same ilk as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, the play by Tom Stoppard, or the related Lion King 1.5, where you're kind of seeing how the two background comedic characters were in fact always there and always part of the big events, except we've never actually met Tag and Bink before. They're rebel officers who are on the Tantive IV that Princess Leia is captured on at the beginning.
Rebel
of the
or Imperial?
They are rebel.
Oh.
Rebel officers. They're those guys in the white domed helmets that are getting shot up.
Oh.
So to avoid getting shot up, they knock out some Imperial stormtroopers, steal their outfits, and then spend the rest of the movie frolicking around the Death Star trying to find a way home. And the way that they've woven them into the Star Wars mythos is just perfect. Like, you're just, oh, but that explains everything. If they were there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like some things that may have seemed random before, you know, find out were really Tag and Bink.
Oh, nice.
And it's very well done. I laughed several times, especially at the point there's this one character that they meet and his name is Manuel, and his name that he asked them to call them is Manny. So his name is Manny Bothans, which should give you an indication of what happens to him. Uh-huh. But you know, things like that were just really tongue-in-cheek, and I was laughing. Just laughing, like a salacious crumb while reading this.
One of the best characters in the Star Wars universe. I don't think we have any one-shots of him in our library, but like a book like that, you know, we talked about the dark stuff where Luke gives into the dark side, but you could also read, you know, a funny, enjoyable series that you just talked about, too. So there's a huge, diverse grouping of books, which I think is great, especially on just day one. You know, so much stuff. My gosh.
All right. So real quick, since obviously Star Wars needs an entire galaxy's worth of podcasts for itself, we're going to talk briefly about what we read this week that was a new release. So Matt, what did you read?
I read The Empty Man from Boom, which, full disclosure, usually I troll my wife and I take full credit for these books, but she told me to read this book. The Empty Man is kind of like a horror Twilight Zone-ish miniseries from Boom, where there is some creature or some being called the Empty Man that has like a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like kind of like praying for the Empty Man to come take them. And the book starts out with this wife coming home from, I guess, like food shopping, and she goes to find her husband, and her husband is like clawing at his head almost to like clean himself, and it's not working.
Ooh.
And the Empty Man comes to get this man, And The Empty Man is kind of like this, it's like a horror movie. Like, there is some
sinister already.
This creature that some people almost hold religious love for. Like, they're praying for this character to come get them, and they've worked their whole life for this moment, for this being to come take them. And these two cops, these investigators, are researching it, and they're trying to find what connection, if any, to other mysterious disappearances of people are related to this being. And it's actually pretty scary good. I liked it. So if you want to get scared, I know we just talked about this fun-loving Star Wars characters.
Now I'm creeped out.
I went to the opposite end of the spectrum, but I highly recommend it.
All right.
You look scared to death
right
now.
I'm a little frazzled, I'm not going to lie. So I read the latest issue of Trees.
Mm.
And for those of you who are not reading Trees, Trees is a story where these alien beings come to Earth. They're not aliens the way we think of them. They're basically these giant columns in the Earth that have just sitting there, and people call them trees. And they, most of them, like, reach up to the clouds. They're very tall, they're huge, and weird stuff is starting to happen under the trees after like decades of everyone just used to them and building cities around them and so forth. And with the latest issue, we're at a point where some of the characters' storylines that we've been following have just changed completely. And in some cases, we've just switched protagonists, which I think is a really interesting storytelling technique, because a lot of the times, like, you meet the protagonist and then you're like, and now we're going to follow them to the end. But this time, it's not about the people. It's about the trees.
Are they aliens?
The people?
No,
the trees.
The trees.
The trees are alien. Well, they're alien.
Or do we know that they're alien?
We don't know anything about them. We're on the same level as the people who are just kind of like, well, they're there, and I don't know what's going on.
Are they an empty man?
No, but that would be an amazing plot twist. And, of course, we both read The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Amazing first issue. I loved it.
It was so much fun. If you like comics, if you like fun, if you like hilarious dialogue,
mm-hmm.
Squirrel Girl is the book for you.
Yeah, how would you even describe what the character of Squirrel Girl is for someone maybe that doesn't read Marvel Avengers, or, like, how would you tell someone about it?
Squirrel Girl is just, like, this fun-loving girl who's got part squirrel blood, I guess. She's got a tail.
Partial squirrel blood, as she calls it.
She's got a tail. I knew nothing about her before reading this book, and now she's one of my favorite characters.
I loved, it felt like just the creative team, like, loved writing, like,
they
loved
clearly,
everything about the character and the story. And usually I don't like when there's kind of like an in-joke at the bottom of the page where the writer just writes like two sentences at the bottom of a page. Because it kind of takes me on the story, but I felt like it was well done this time around and really hilarious. The Deadpool trading card stuff was hilarious.
Yeah.
Really great first issue. I hope people check it out.
Yeah, slight fourth wall breaking, but it worked. It was mm-hmm. really good.
Last but not least, we got a letter.
Yeah?
Letters at comixology.com.
Please read.
Before we wrap up and get back to reading thousands of pages of Star Wars comics... Adam, the subject line is Adam Man, Adam Guy, the Adam, ?
Okay.
I just finished Identity Crisis because the cover caught my eye in your app, and I've heard good things. I don't know too much about some of the characters in the book, but it was very enjoyable anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would, however, like to learn more about this Adam Man. Any way you could point out a good origin story or a book, I can get more of him. Thanks, Chris in Phoenix.
Oh.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for writing in.
Have you ever read Identity Crisis?
I have. It was one of the first comics I actually bought in a comic shop.
Wow.
Yeah.
About, is it Adam Man? Is it the Adam?
There's the Adam and Adam Smasher.
Whoa.
But probably Adam. I think it was definitely Adam mm-hmm. in Identity Crisis. So the Adam that you would have been reading about is Ray Palmer, who is actually also now on TV, on The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
No, on Arrow.
Or both,
they're in
maybe.
The same universe. It's fine. Okay, so Ray Palmer is a scientist / professor, and he has a dwarf star in his belt. And when he,
like, that sounds
dangerous. It's very dangerous. But when he's got a device on the belt where when he activates it, he can shrink down to the size of an atom, which is astoundingly useful for his job as a scientist, because he can just go down to the molecular level and actually look at the things that he's studying. And he's one of my personal favorite characters in the DC mythos, because he's just adorable.
Well, do we have anything for Chris and Phoenix to recommend for a starting point?
I think that you should check out Sword of the Atom. It's a 4-issue miniseries from the 80s, and in it, the Atom, basically something happens that causes him to freak out, and
he loses his dwarf star.
No.
He loses his belt.
No. So he decides to just shrink down and live on a smaller level for a while, and he encounters some absolutely fantastic creatures or things that might seem normal, but at his size are now extraordinary. And it's just like a fun adventure comic, but it also shows you how if you just shift your perspective, you see a whole new world.
Interesting.
Yeah. I liked it when I read it.
There you have it, Chris and Phoenix. What a show. There's, I think we didn't talk about 800 other Star Wars comics, so.
Oh, so many. We can talk about some more coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do that. But yeah, write to us, letters@comixology.com, if you have more Star Wars recs for us of things that we have available. If you read anything this week that you wanted to share, we're here. We'll talk about it. Right. Talk about it next time. What should I play us out with?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, the intro was... Goodbye, everybody.